Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, the former commander of the USS Cole. Paulino says this.
Sam, today we're going to be talking to Carson City native Kurt Lippold about the death of Osama bin Laden.
Plus on the Power Pundit panel today, Russell Rowe, Trevor Hayes, and Chris Ferrari. All coming up next on All New Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park. The resort at Red Hawk. The Whittemore Peterson Institute, where today's discoveries are tomorrow's cure. And the Las Vegas Review Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
The Nevada Beer Wholesalers encourages the responsible consumption of beer. The Nevada Beer Wholesalers Association are sponsors and participants in many community-based efforts such as school education programs, safe ride home, recycling programs, alcohol-free after-prom and graduation parties, safe boating campaigns, and designated driver programs. They are family-owned businesses employing 2,000 Nevadans. They also collect and pay the state excise tax. The Nevada Beer Wholesalers Association, delivering more than just beer.
All right, Sam, let's check on some commercial buildings, see how their roofs are holding up.
Some business owners can't replace their roofs right now. That's where our free inspections really help out.
Hold on. Let's go inverted. We'll get a closer look.
What do you think?
Well, it certainly can use some preventive maintenance.
Yeah, that would definitely extend the life of this roof.
You ready to check the next one?
Maybe next time we can just take a ladder.
You watch your company's bottom line, and I'll cover the top of it.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
As the stewards of the land, it is our responsibility to grow our businesses while keeping a watchful eye on our environment. We do this at TRI with conscientious development decisions. For example, the TRI Water and Sewer Companies are designing a new wetland program to polish the waste effluent to a superior water quality standard. While biofuel companies like Fulcrum Bio and Advanced Refining Concepts are producing clean and alternative energy from landfill waste and natural products. The Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
This segment is sponsored by the law firm of Lewis & Rocha, providing local and regional clients in-depth legal resources in today's challenging business climate. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are very pleased to welcome to the program retired Commander Kurt Lippold, United States Navy. He was the commanding officer of the USS Cole on October 12, 2000, when the ship was attacked and bombed by Al-Qaeda terrorists during a refueling stop in the Yemeni port of Aden, killing 17 sailors. Lippold assumed command of the Cole on June 25, 1999, and served until he was relieved on March 9th of 2001. He is also running in Congressional District 2, Dean Hellow's old seat. We are taping this on May 2nd. It's less than 14 hours since the president announced the killing of Osama bin Laden. Your thoughts, sir?
Absolutely thrilled. I think it is a wonderful achievement by the United States military. Clearly, it has taken a long time to build up the intelligence to get to this point through both the Bush and Obama administrations. It is clear vindication and demonstrates American resolve that if you intend to do Americans or our country harm, we will relentlessly pursue you to the ends of the earth and serve justice.
Does it surprise you that he was almost appeared to be living openly in Pakistan?
I regret that it is not surprising. Unfortunately, Pakistan has proven time and again that while a partner with us in the war on terror, there are certain elements within their intelligence community that cannot be trusted, and clearly he could not have lived the way he did and where he did without those intelligence service members providing some degree of cooperation and cover for him.
One of the things that was interesting was no phone connections to the compound, no internet connections to the compound. That was one of the clues that tipped off the American forces.
That plus the how the facility was built, essentially from what we're understanding now, about $1 million, which in Pakistan is a princely sum, to be able to build a facility like that with the walls that were built up, it stood out. It did not blend in, and that too was another tipping indication that we needed to take a look at that facility and figure out just who is there.
Commander, tell me about the reaction of some of your former crew members on the USS Cole to the news last night.
Absolutely amazing. The social network, Facebook, Twitter, all of them lit up last night. I was getting a mailbox full of things this morning, a number of posts on my wall, as well as certainly with we've got one just for the crew alone. Family members also commenting. You know, while the crew is very happy, it was also tempered with the fact that 17 sailors will never be with us again. But we feel that justice has been served, and hopefully we can continue to move forward in a healing process that's going to last the rest of our lives.
What does this change in terms of the overall war on terror? And you tell me if I'm wrong. A lot of people say, hey, we've cut off the head of the snake, but I don't think this is a snake. I think it's more like a hydra that has multi-heads.
I think this was a very symbolic victory. After all, Osama bin Laden did represent the head of al-Qaeda, but the reality of it is it's going to be a long ongoing war effort. Many of his followers still adhere to the tenets of violent extremism that he espoused, and you're going to continue to see many attacks go on. As a matter of fact, I wouldn't be surprised if we saw a spike in attacks over the next few months simply because they want to take retribution for us killing him. And each one of those is going to be an opportunity to determine where those attacks are coming from, who's carrying them out, and then specifically target those individuals and organizations as well.
The administration has said that photographs were taken of Osama bin Laden, but the body was buried at sea. Do you agree that that was the appropriate thing to do so he does not become a centerpiece for martyrdom by having an actual burial site?
Absolutely, yes. I think it was the right decision. It was made very quickly. I think that it had probably been thought through years before now into what do we do when we're in this circumstance. It wasn't a snap decision. Very pleased to see that we did bury him at sea. I think that is an appropriate burial ceremony to behold. It was held respectfully following Muslim custom and tradition. So I think that we don't want to create any kind of memorial to that individual at all.
You have decided to come back to Nevada after, you know, a long service in the military and run for CD2. Can you tell us why you decided to do that?
Absolutely. Well, I grew up in Carson High School, graduated from Carson High, went off to the Naval Academy, and then served 26 years in the Navy. When I retired, I went to work in Washington for a wonderful organization called Military Families United. That allowed me to speak out on critical issues affecting the nation's security, like Guantanamo Bay. But the tug to get home was too strong. And when I came home January of 2010, I took a good look and just said, okay, what do you want to do? I spent most of the last year pretty much sequestered and writing the memoir about the attack, which is now working its way through the publishing world. But the reality of it is I wanted to get back in the business of service.
And you talk about Guantanamo Bay, and that was an issue that President Obama, during the campaign, he said, we are going to close down Guantanamo Bay. Do you think when people are running, when they're candidates, they really don't have a real clear picture of the decisions that the person in charge has to make? And do you think he has made the right decision by keeping Guantanamo Bay open?
I don't think he had any choice. I think it was the right decision. Clearly, the American people and the legislative branch spoke up, much to the dismay of the Attorney General Eric Holder, that facility serves a useful purpose in the war on terror. The first and foremost reason Guantanamo was created because it was an intelligence gathering facility. That was the number one reason. The fact that it morphed into a detention facility that a lot of people feel is a stain upon the United States and our moral values is absolutely wrong. I don't think it does. It serves a useful purpose. And now there are reports even coming out this morning that, if true, the information that led to the killing of Osama bin Laden, in fact, may have come from a detainee in Guantanamo Bay years later, because we finally worked an issue hard enough to be able to get that. And if that proves to be true, it is going to prove the value of that facility and exactly why it should stay open today.
Let me ask you this. You were obviously very critical of the president regarding Guantanamo. As the commander-in-chief, do you give him credit for the death of Osama bin Laden?
Absolutely, yes. He is the one that ultimately made the decision to tell those forces to go in there and kill him. That is not an easy decision to make, but he obviously took all the intelligence information, took the forces that were going to be executing the mission, and had to make that sole decision as the commander-in-chief to do it, and I applaud him for having done that.
Okay, let's take a break. We'll with Commander Lippold when we come back.
Of the greatest classic rock bands of all time. So get ready to relive rock at its best with the complete classic rock collection. The 100 greatest classic rock songs of all time on one unbelievable 8-CD collection. Of the classic songs that live on forever. You can't get this massive 8-CD collection in any store. So let rock rule with a complete classic rock collection. To order, have your credit card ready and call the number on your screen. Do it now.
Las Vegas Review Journal. Get inside.
This segment is sponsored by the law firm of Lewis and Rocha, providing local and regional clients in-depth legal resources in today's challenging business climate. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with retired Commander Kirk Lippold, who was commanded the Cole when it was attacked by Al-Qaeda. You're running for Congressional District 2, and we will welcome you back as many times as you want to come back on to talk about that race. But obviously, being the day after the death of Osama bin Laden, that really goes to the top of the pile here. Does this say that we can leave Afghanistan now?
Absolutely not. The way I would look at both Afghanistan and, to a degree, Iraq, is that we have made significant investments in those countries to get them to a point where democracy can take root. I know there are a lot of problems, especially in Afghanistan, with corruption, but nonetheless, our forces being there is not there just for a military mission where we can go in, execute it, and then immediately pull back and pull out. The reality is we need to stay invested in those countries. We provide a stabilizing force so that you don't have the influence of countries like Pakistan, where clearly they were providing to a degree bin Laden another safe haven.
But aren't we're propping up a corrupt leadership in Afghanistan? There was a major article in yesterday's New York Times about this road that they're trying to build from Kabul to the north, and it is just rampant with corruption. Parts of the road that have been built are already deteriorating. What is our real mission? I mean, you know, the real war in there is between Pakistan and India. Afghanistan is a sideshow. Why are we there? What's the mission?
It's not a sideshow for us. You have to remember why we went into Afghanistan to begin with. It was a country that was giving safe haven to Al-Qaeda and its followers and Osama bin Laden, and it was from there that they plotted and planned the attacks, not only on 9/11, but against Kabul. Now,
a lot of people. They're in Pakistan now.
Well, a lot of people say they're in Pakistan, but you have to remember, Pakistan is a country that obviously has a strategic role in the area. It is not only a country that is a critical linchpin, but it is nuclear armed. You do have India counterbalancing it on the other side, and we're working to establish relationships with that country. We want to stay engaged throughout the region. You don't influence regions in the world or individual countries by disengaging and backing away.
But don't you look at what happened with the Russians as the example of nobody has ever won there? Nobody has ever.
We've never gone in there to win. We've never gone in there to conquer.
So what's the mission? I don't understand what the mission is.
The mission right there is to try and create a government. Granted, it does have problems with corruption, even
it's
today,
totally
that are rampant. But if we don't stay engaged, what worse is it going to do? I mean, what would have happened if we had pulled out of some of the countries following World War II? Japan, Germany, Italy.
Had we pulled out of those? Ron Paul would question why 60-odd years later we're still in Germany and Japan.
Ron Paul's entitled to his opinion. I look at it as an investment in the stability of Europe that clearly served a purpose when you look at the bulwark against the Warsaw Pact and the fact that we were eventually able to provide the stability necessary for that area of the world to eventually wear down the Soviet Union and defeat them. And I believe the same is going to happen if we stay engaged in Iraq with the Middle East and everything that's going on there, especially when you have a nascent nuclear power like Iran that is building them against world opinion and the United Nations. When you look at Afghanistan and Pakistan, it is critical for us to stay engaged, because if you're not engaged, you don't have influence. If you don't have influence, you can't affect the future.
But our influence is with a corrupt administration.
We've worked with corrupt administrations before. If we stay engaged with them, it may give us the opportunity to let the Afghani people see that we care and want to work with and for them to build a better government. Yes, the Karzai government has its issues right now. And yes, we are going to continue to apply pressure where necessary in order to try and turn that government around so that it is not corrupt. And we'll expose it wherever we can.
Commander, let's get back to yesterday's events quickly. What logistically had to happen in order for us to go in and have a successful mission to kill Osama bin Laden yesterday?
First and foremost is building that intelligence picture to make sure that when we went in, we knew exactly where he was, what his movements were, and any forces or protection that he may have surrounding that compound. Once you've built that intelligence picture, then you pick out which forces are going to be most effective at being able to execute the kind of mission you want to do.
And the reports are these were Navy SEALs.
That's true. I couldn't be prouder, obviously, being a Navy man myself. Those Navy SEALs undoubtedly were working under the Special Operations Command and were under their direct guidance. They evidently practiced this mission for quite some time, knowing that they would have to go in and execute it. And when you practice things long enough, you develop the training necessary so that you can react to certain situations. They went in there, and from all accounts right now, we'll learn more in the coming days, it was virtually a flawlessly executed mission. We lost one helicopter, but no U.S. forces lost or injured.
Who's in charge of an operation like that? Is it Navy SEALs? Is it the Navy?
We've got about 30 seconds.
It's not the Navy. It's Special Operations Command. But they're clearly going to have a Navy officer as part of the SEAL team that is going to head up that mission.
Okay, and that's where we got to leave it. We will welcome you back, as I said, to discuss your race in CD2. Secretary of State's going to make an announcement about what's going to happen with the special election, and we'll look forward to having you back.
I look forward to being on again. Thank you very much.
We'll be right back on About Newsmakers after this time.
Hi, this is Jim Miner, and I'd like to invite you to the 11th annual Moms on the Run to aid Northern Nevada women in their fight against cancer. Join your friends at Reno High School's Foster Field on Mother's Day, May 8th. Race includes a 5 and 10K run, 3 and 5K bonbon walk and talk, the Fat Boy Shuffle, and the Kidlets Race. Register online at momsontherun.info or at either Pinocchio's locations in Reno and Sparks. And packet pickup is Saturday, May 7th at Reno High School. Moms on the Run, Mother's Day at Reno High's Foster Field.
I'm your uncle in the insurance business, and you need some affordable insurance for this truck.
Tell him about Auto Insurance America's new low rates.
We've lowered our rates for trucks, SUVs, and 4x4s, and you can save up to 40% in discounts.
I bet that's just for people with great credit.
We base your rates on how you drive, not your credit.
Don't forget our low monthly payments.
Call, click, or stop by Auto Insurance America.
Now I have an uncle in the insurance business.
It's insurance for the rest of us.
In May, depending on the weather, Caltrans will close U.S. Highway 50 at Echo Summit for 2 weeks to replace the old rock wall barrier. The alternate route goes through California's historic gold country in Amador and El Dorado counties, past panoramic vineyards, rugged river canyons, gold mines, museums, historic main streets, and beautiful flower farms. Visit way2tahoe.com for schedules, maps, and places to eat and explore along the route. That's way2tahoe.com.
They treat the most complex cancers at Nevada's only Institute for Cancer with triple accreditation. They work hand-in-hand with the world-renowned cancer team at the UC San Francisco Medical Center to bring the most advanced cancer treatments and clinical trials to our region. And they help during the difficult times following a cancer diagnosis. They're the expert hands you'll find at Renown, and they make the remarkable happen every single day. Learn more at remarkablerecoveries.renown.org.
This segment is brought to you by the Whittemore Peterson Institute, where today's discoveries are tomorrow's cures. This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great PowerPundit panel as always. Russell Rowe is here with the Capital Company, Trevor Hayes with Lionel Sawyer and Collins, and Chris Ferrari, Ferrari Public Affairs. This is really an amazing day. You know, it's one of those days where you'll always remember where you were when you heard that Osama bin Laden had been killed. Your thoughts on this?
Well, it's a certainly amazing feat, and we've got to commend all of the folks who have sacrificed so much to make it happen. And I think we need to be very careful as a country on how we handle it. It's very much closure for a great part of the world, and somebody is very dangerous, so hopefully it brings all of us more peace.
Trevor, your thoughts?
You know, obviously, like Chris said, I mean, it does bring great closure, but to me it's more a somber moment than one of jubilation that seems to be sweeping the country. You know, it makes me think back to the last 10 years and the thousands of people who have died, both sides of all these wars, the 3,000 that died on September 11th, the thousands of servicemen from our country and other countries that have died in the Middle East since, and you know, that's what I think a lot about at this time.
Russell?
I was thrilled, Sam. I just flew in from down south, and I had to pull over on the side of the road as I was driving over to Carson City and listen to the news, listen to the president's speech, drove home as fast as I could, turned on the CNN and catch everything I can. It's exciting.
You know, it seems to me like a very much a unifying moment for this country.
Well, I agree, and I think our president deserves a tremendous amount of credit for making this call. We've had presidents in the past. President Clinton could have made the call to take bin Laden out. He chose not to, so I think President Obama deserves a tremendous amount of credit. And you know, for me, absolutely, there is some somber moments thinking about all the people that died. But, you know, I am very happy that the bastard is dead, and I hope he rots in hell.
It was interesting listening to the retired Commander Lippold talking about the need to stay in Afghanistan. I'm still trying to figure out what the mission is at this point, and especially as the whole reason we went in there was to go after Osama and the Taliban. We have a totally corrupt government in Kabul. What's the mission? And you guys are not military guys, you're ordinary citizens just like me, so I'm just curious to get your thoughts.
Great question. I'd obviously not a military person, as you indicated, but I think what we're all looking for is more global peace on a global basis, not just for the U.S., but stability throughout the world. It's going to reflect on our economic markets, obviously, all of our safety. We're going to have to defer to some of the folks that are running that operation to determine whether we need to stay or whether we slowly pull out and continue to do so.
We saw a little bit of a boost in the stock market today on this news around the world.
Mm-hmm. You know, Sam, really quick, you know, we talk about, you know, should we still be in Afghanistan? The reason that a person like Osama bin Laden could function with impunity was because there wasn't a government in Afghanistan, or because there was a corrupt government in the form of the Taliban that let him do whatever he wanted to do. And when you do have pockets in the world like that, where you do have these outlaw governments, and I can understand the corruption with Hamid Karzai, and how that would be upsetting to us, but Karzai is loads better than the Taliban that allows people like Osama bin Laden to go there and set up their camps and train people for these terrorist exercises. So I do think that what we have today in a corrupt Karzai government is a million times better than what we had with a Taliban who let people like Osama bin Laden go there. So when we can go there and install a government, and you do have something corrupt or not there, some semblance of order, it does make a difference in not allowing people like Osama bin Laden.
But we're not going after the Taliban to the degree that we did when we first went in there.
We basically beat them. We've driven them underground.
Well, it's a tribal society, and my point is that bin Laden was not in Afghanistan. He was in Pakistan being protected by the Pakistani government.
And I think Chris really hit it on the broad perspective, which is stability for our country. You know, we see deals cut at the legislature. When you pull back the sheets, it sometimes can get ugly on what goes on. And so who knows from us as laymen sitting here, the deals that are cut at an international level with countries and the better to advance U.S. interests. But more broadly, having the stability and globally, and particularly for our economy, and then just plain old consumer confidence. I mean, you saw the jubilation of people around the country last night. You hadn't seen that in terms of a unifying factor since 9/11 occurred and everyone came together. And, you know, hopefully we can keep that unity both in D.C. and then maybe we'll even see a little bit of that flow over to our legislature and the Capitol and be able to resolve our issues at a state and a national level.
Trevor, do you have that kind of optimism?
Well, yeah, I mean, I agree a lot with what Paul said is, you know, when you've got extremist elements throughout that region of the world, if you allow a vacuum to form where there's lawlessness and anarchy, that's where they're going to go. So if we can help provide stability in some way to keep that from happening again and letting these guys basically run a country, then it's going to make the rest of the world safer.
I don't know. I think we're going to be pulling out of that country in 2012 under the president's plan. Today,
key mistake.
We'll see.
And there was a promise as well, so you'd probably, I think you're right, Sam, it'll probably happen fast.
And if you look at history, you know, the Soviet Union left there because you cannot win in that country. No, for thousands of years, people have tried to conquer and take over that country, and it cannot be done. It is
compared to what we had, to what we had today. I will say that we have won. We have driven them underground, and yes, he was in Pakistan, but we got the guy. And you don't have a vacuum there that allows these people to go in there and train their folks to attack the United States and attack other interests around the world. So I think we have won from that standpoint.
I don't disagree.
It is good to have us there to provide that stability.
So we're there forever?
I don't know if we're there forever, but I'll tell you what, I like the idea of us having something there, no matter, you know, something that is better than nothing.
All right, and that's where we're going to leave it. Gentlemen, thank you very much. I wanted to get us as ordinary citizens to discuss this topic today. Thank you. We'll be right back on Bad Newsmakers after this time.
The Sport House. Exotic European sports cars and luxury SUVs. Stop in today and say hello to the original owners of the Sport House. Off the freeway at South Meadows Parkway.
You already know, Evergreen is far and away the finest carpet cleaning service in Northern Nevada. However,
you know, I wish you guys could do something with wood floors.
I'm on it.
Huh?
Now, complete cleaning of all wood floors, only from Evergreen Carpet Care. We've got the expertise and the specially designed machines to safely clean your wood floors down to the original luster, and we can even refinish them.
You did it!
Like I said, I'm on it.
For the ultimate in cleaning, it's Evergreen Carpet and Wood Floor Care.
Hair on Plum, a convenient family salon for men, women, and children, open 7 days a week, offering over 20 years of professional service for whatever your hair needs may be. Haircuts, perms, color weaves, highlights, or just color. Get the look you want at Hair on Plum in the Plum Lane Plaza Shopping Center, 483 East Plum Lane. Remember, open 7 days a week for your convenience. Hair on Plum, they'll give you that look you want.
Bobby Page's Dry Cleaners is Northern Nevada's leader in convenient dry cleaning and laundry service. With text message notification when your items are ready and free pickup and delivery, getting your dry cleaning done has never been easier. Due to the widening of Moana Lane, we've moved to a new location on West Moana. Look for us near Szechuan Garden. You can expect the same high quality and friendly service at every one of our 14 locations throughout the region. Bobby Page's Dry Cleaners and Shirt Laundry, leading the way in Northern Nevada, one satisfied customer at a time.
John is back at the Sport House. Stop in and see him today. The Sport House. Off the freeway at South Meadows Parkway.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com.
Sam, tomorrow we're going to be talking to State Senator Reuben Kuhn about the Nevada legislature.